Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Rewatcher, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Previously on The Rewatcher, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Per usual, I'm always stressed out watching Buffaluff.
I need to change Mercedes.
When Giles is nervous, yeah. I'm nervous. Before it got revealed, I was going, Oz, Oz,
she was,
Oz,
she was going, Oz, she manifested Oz. It.
And Willow's like,
hell yeah!
I was like, just make out.
Yep.
Just make out.
She slits his throat with her ice skate.
And then he's just down.
That is the badass Buffy moment of the week, and I will hear nothing else.
It is.
Buffy is kind of bummed that there's a dead guy on the ice when they were supposed to have an ice skating date.
It takes the romance out of it.
Yeah, she's a little bummed. Giles snaps.
It made me nervous.
My heart went pitter-patter.
Don't warn the tadpoles!
I am Kendra, the Vampire Slayer.
What? Guys, remember that time when there's a whole ass other Vampire Slayer?
Your reaction.
What? I was like, where do we go from here? Turn all the lights off now.
Yeah, turn them all the way down low.
I was nervous.
This was a real big turning point in this series when you find out that there can be a second Slayer.
You know what another turning point in the series was?
What?
When you impersonated Willow and you said, hell yeah!
That's like what she said, like, man. That's exactly what she said. But you know what? From Wondery, I'm Elena.
And I'm Ash.
And this is The Rewatcher, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
This is Season 2, Episode 10, What's My Line? Part 2.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery. Code Wondery.
All right, we're in part two of What's My Line? Here we are. They left us on a cliffy hanger.
I know. I'm so happy that you and I were able to watch parts one and part two together because I don't know how you did it back then.
Yeah, we had to wait a whole fucking week.
Fook a whole bunch of that.
Yeah, it just went boom. And you were like, what? What do you mean you're a slayer? Get out of here, Kendra.
No, you're not.
Turns out she is.
She is.
Because when we left off, remember, Kendra and Buffy are just like squared up in Angel's apartment. Just square. They both got that slayer pose.
In his nasty ass apartment.
His apartment about isn't it. That bad. It's just his bed.
It's a, no, you know what, though? Out. I was thinking about it. He has a nasty ass apartment.
It's not my taste.
It's dank.
I'll take Spike's lair. But you know what? Buffy's like, what? Because the last thing we heard was her say, I'm the slayer.
Yeah.
I'm the vampire slayer. So Buffy's like, excuse me? And she repeats it to her. She's like, I am the slayer.
And Kendra's not really understanding it because she's like, even if you kill me, another one's going to be sent. And Buffy's like, oh no, yeah, I got that. Like, I know how that works. Been told that a few times. And Buffy's like, yeah, no. So she says this to Kendra.
Could you stop with the Slayer thing? I'm the damn Slayer.
And Kendra's just like, this is nonsense. I don't know what you're talking about. But Buffy's like, listen, just call a truce to like, don't hit me. I won't hit you. Let's go to Giles, my watcher, and we're going to figure this shit out. So Kendra does agree to that. She's like, all right, we'll do a ceasefire. And Buffy's like, okay, how did you end up in Sunnydale? And Kendra just says, to do my duty. I'm here to kill vampires. And Buffy's like, yeah, that's like really not what I was asking.
And Buffy's also like, who are you?
Yeah. And she's like, I wasn't really asking you like what you specific, like that you were, what your job was when you were here. How did you get sent here? Like, yeah. I am alive. What's going on? Now we get a quick little flash of the room that Angel is trapped in. And we see that sunlight is hitting pretty close. And he's like super pale, paler than normal.
And he doesn't have a lot of room to kind of like hide away anymore.
He's weak.
My boy.
He's looking weak. Ash was feeling weak watching him feel weak.
I was. I felt like I needed a liquid IV.
Yeah. And I vividly remember my friend Lynn's having like an actual cardiac arrest during this because she was like, is this it?
I can't imagine having to watch this week to week.
Yeah, because you just didn't know. And then you saw like they kill characters like
willy-nilly.
Game of Thrones. Like we didn't know what that was back then. But like they kill characters without any kind of thought.
Pour one out for Flutie.
You know? Ugh. And that was like a shocker.
That still hurts.
So they could easily kill one of these characters and it really wouldn't be out of character for this show. So we're in the library and, you know, Kendra has now met Giles and Giles is like politely interrogating her, which I like.
He loved her immediately. And I was like, let her prove herself.
He did. He was just kind of, well, in the beginning, he was kind of like, okay, I'm just going to ask the questions. But once they started talking, he was like,
yeah,
you're kind of cool.
She said she studied and he was like, that's my thing.
And he was like, that's pretty great. We can talk about that. But he says Kendra's story checks out, which is very strange. Because he says the watcher that she says is her watcher is a very well-known and well-respected one.
Right.
So he's like, she's not lying. Like, this is real. Buffy is pissed.
She's and I don't blame her. This, which is funny, though, at the same time, because Buffy has spent every single day of this show complaining about being a Slayer.
Exactly.
And she wishes somebody would just come along and take the job for her. And then that happens. But it solidifies that, like, she loved this job.
You don't know what you got till it's gone. It's like one of those things when you, like, somebody has a crush on you and you're like, I'm good. And then somebody else, like, they start dating someone or they're like, someone else is into them. And you're like, well, suddenly you look better now.
You mean the game I played all throughout
exactly.
high school?
Exactly. It's that kind of thing. Like, she's like, Slayerdom
yep.
has had a crush on Buffy. And she's like, please get away from me, Slayerdom. I'm not into you.
Yeah.
And then someone else comes along and is like, I'll be the Slayer. And she's like, excuse me. That's my job.
That's actually the perfect way to describe that. Great job.
It's exactly that. It's a crush that she wasn't initially into.
You're right.
But now she can't have it. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
But Giles is like, what are you called? And Kendra says that she's the Vampire Slayer. Kendra is like very endearingly by the book. Like, you know that that's, you can tell from the beginning and she kind of lets us know later. This has just been her whole life. Like she's been taught very differently from Buffy.
Yeah, like she literally didn't even have parents.
Yeah,
really.
That they kind of just shipped her off and were like, you're going to train. This is your destiny. You can't have friends. You can't have anything outside of this. So that's all she knows. So when you say, you know, what's your name? What are you called? Like, I'm a vampire slayer. That's it. Like, she doesn't have anything else. And Buffy, who is understandably still frustrated by this whole thing. So I get her little like,
oh, yeah,
I get why she's so tense here. But like, damn, she doesn't let up. She kind of condescendingly says this.
We got that part, honey. He means your name.
And I was like, oof, it's the honey for me.
It's always the honey.
It's always the honey.
If she's saying honey, I don't feel like it's good.
Oh, no, it's never good.
It's not a pet name.
I rarely say a honey in that kind of context without it meaning to be like a dagger.
Honey,
yeah.
You got a big storm coming.
Big storm coming. But she's like, my name is Kendra. And she says she doesn't have a last name. But Buffy responds, can you say stuck in the 80s? And I was like, I don't know, maybe. She's probably born there.
That was funny.
So
I know the 80s was not that long ago.
But, you know, whatever. They're just like, okay, this is clearly a misunderstanding. We just have to figure out how it is. Willow enters the library and is just like, hey, everybody. And Kendra almost brains her immediately. Like, she's just ready to, like, beat the shit out of Willow. Is like, identify yourself. And I love it because we get a really topical reference when Buffy says, back off, Pink Ranger, that's my friend. Everyone loved the Pink Ranger. I never watched that.
That's
show.
Okay, because it was just like, that makes sense.
I wasn't a Power Ranger girly.
Of the time, though. When Power Ranger was first out, it was like the shit.
Isn't there? I think there's actually like a true crime spin on that.
I think there is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a whole story. But the Pink Ranger was everybody's gal.
Go girl.
Just saying. And of course, Kendra has no idea what that is.
No, like, she wasn't allowed to watch television.
Yeah, she was definitely not. But Giles kind of has to explain to her, you know, there's a few civilians that know who Buffy is, know that she's the Slayer. They're, you know, and he's like, he doesn't even know how to say it. He's like, they spend time together socially. Cause he's like, yeah. I don't think you even know what a friend is. And Kendra's like, you let her have friends and tell people who she is? And Giles is just kind of like, well, fuck.
He's like, sorry.
Like, he's like, she's like scolding and judging him. Like, ew.
Yeah. Kendra comes in real hot.
Oh, she comes in real hot and you immediately, like that endearing, like, I don't understand anything because I've just been on this singular path. It comes and goes when like you get it sometimes and then other times you're like, all right, shut up.
Exactly.
Like, you're being mean.
Yeah.
But this is one of those times. But
oh, and we have a quick corrections corner, actually. The actress that plays Kendra is actually Beyonce's stepsister, not her half-sister. Yes.
Look at that.
A step and half is like people confusing. Get confused a lot.
You know, she's her sister in some way, shape, or form.
She's her freaking sister.
And she's like a legend because she's an actual vampire that doesn't age.
So there you go.
So there you go. Bianca.
Bianca.
I also love that name. But yeah, Giles is like, okay, so the new Slayer is only called once the previous Slayer has died.
And then they're like, oh.
And once he like lays that out and they all just sit with it for a second, it's like, boom.
Yep.
And he goes, oh, good Lord, you were dead, Buffy. And she's like, I was only gone for a minute.
I loved
which
that.
Which is the truth.
Yeah.
But he responds.
Clearly, it doesn't matter how long you were gone. You were physically dead. That's causing the activation of the next Slayer.
And you don't think of it when it happens. But when you look back on it, you're like, you died.
Yeah.
And you don't realize that it's like the second you die, that's what's going to happen. It activates the next one because it's not like they can wait. They can't go through that, like, reactivation process where you have to go to the DMV and get like a temporary and then you have to wait a few weeks for it to come in the mail. Like, people will die from vampire.
They will.
Between that
but
time.
Where did Kendra come from? Because like we all know that the Hellmouth is in Sunnydale, so like why didn't she get here so much sooner?
Probably who knows where she came, but I think it was because remember there was a couple of times in the last few weeks where there were lulls.
Remember? You're right,
and they
you're
made
right.
it a real, like, they made it a point to make sure you know that there was lulls.
Uh-huh.
Like, over the summer, there was a lull. There
yep.
was, so maybe that's why she didn't need to be activated.
Okay.
But
okay.
now there was, now, because we kind of hear that, like, now that Spike is kind of cooking up something really big.
Yeah.
That's why she was sent, because it's like, this is really going to be a problem.
Okay.
But I love it, because Kendra's like, did you really die? And Buffy's like, just a little. It's like, no, you really died.
Just a little bit.
This is clearly unprecedented. Giles is literally flummoxed. I think he literally says that.
I like that word.
And I love it because Buffy looks at Giles and is like, what's the flum? It's a mistake.
Send her back.
Get her home. She's not supposed to be here. But Kendra, this is when she says some kind of dark power is about to rise in Sunnydale. So they kind of have a like a back and forth thing. And Buffy's like, Kendra's just going to attack everyone random until she finds the bad guys.
Which
and
is
then
true.
She's like, you did just attack me in bed. Why would you do that? And she's like, well, I thought you were a vampire, considering you were in a vampire's lair and I saw you kissing a vampire.
Fair.
And I love it because Willow immediately defends Buffy. She's immediately like, that's Angel. It's okay.
Like, it's totally fine. Take several seats.
Best friend vibes. But this is the first time Kendra hears of, like, a good vampire.
Well, and she knows Angelus, too.
Exactly.
And she's like, he's not good.
Because she says, Angel. And then she's like, Angelus? And it's like, oof.
She's like,
used his government name.
That's bad. Yeah, she does use his government name.
Yeah, and they all kind of explain to Kendra that, you know, he had a curse. He's on their side now. It's fine. And this is when Kendra says, he looked to me just like any other animal when I... And then she just kind of stops. And Giles is like, say what? And Buffy's like, what did you do? And it's just silent.
And then we go to a fucking commercial break.
But then we're back at the cage and we see that there is basically no room in that cage anymore. Like that sunlight is about to hit him and he is going to be a crispy, crispy tater tot.
And he is feeling ill.
He's feeling the heat.
But he looks so good.
But then we see Willie. He opens the cage. He grabs Angel by the feet and he drags him out. And then he just kind of like opens a trap door and like throws him into a sewer below. I was like, damn.
And then he jumps in there after him in his white Converse.
Yeah.
I'm like, you just willy-nilly, literally, jump into the sewer wearing white shoes.
It's creep. A bold move.
Yeah.
It's a bold move. Let's see if it works out for him. But yeah, I love it because this is the beginning of they make Angel a real thirst trap in this episode.
Oh, like, yeah.
They lean into that in this episode.
Kool-Aid Man. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
His shirt is unbuttoned. He's all wet. Like, it's just like, and they do this for the rest of the episode. He is just like, just open for everybody.
His muscles be muscling.
They certainly do. But Spike appears. Yay. And he comes in. He's offering money for his services. Like, This was a whole plan that Willie was going to trap Angel, like this whole thing. You know, he's working for Spike. At one point, he threatens using the term, I'll have your guts for garters. One, I love that. And two, it immediately makes me think of Winifred Sanderson.
Oh,
when shit. When she grabs Sarah's ear and she says, I'll have your guts for garters, girl. And hearing Spike say it is like two of my favorite people saying it.
That impression was scary. Good.
Thank you. I became Winnie. I become Winnie a lot.
Felt like Sarah.
Yeah. You know?
She didn't have my ear though. Don't worry.
I didn't. I was reaching across and pantomiming it. But he's basically like, I'll have your guts for garters if you spill any of this information to anyone. And Spike's guys just kind of drag Angel away. And Willie's like, what are you going to do with Angel? And I just love how Spike can't answer anything. He's like Xander in that way.
He is.
But like,
they actually do have a similar disposition.
They do. But it's like Xander's works a lot. It works a lot. But we saw last episode it did not work when Giles was like, will you shut the fuck up?
Oh, stress.
Spike's always works. Because there's never a time where he has to be serious.
Exactly.
And if he is, then he is serious.
Uh-huh.
Like, his kind of really works the best for me. And this is how he answers, what are you going to do with Angel?
I'm thinking maybe dinner and a movie. I don't want to rush into anything. I've been hurt, you know.
I don't want to rush into anything. I love him I've so been hurt. Much.
So at Buffy's house, we see Norman, the little buggy guy. Ugh. Oh, he's so gross. And he's watching Cordelia kind of go through these makeup samples. She's saying she's both a summer and a winter.
Which she kind of is.
Which she was like, I know it's rare, but that's me. And he just keeps staring at her and he's like, $9.99, tax included. And she's like, yeah, you already said that. And she's like, why do you keep saying that? Do you have anything in Barry?
she's like, so I fucking have fucking clueless. Samples to pick out, okay?
And then she notices a maggot crawling out of his sleeve.
It is some CGI if I've ever seen it.
I couldn't imagine seeing that. I would be out of that house. But Xander comes back downstairs and Xander's like, what the fuck? And Cordelia's like, he's a salesman. He's just leaving. And she kind of like cowers behind Xander. And then we see a maggot crawl across this guy's cheek and into his ear.
No.
Which I just saw recently, like a TikTok from this pediatric doctor.
I was like, what did you that see I recently? Follow?
And she was talking about how she got attacked in the ER. And that the attack was because she looked in a kid's ear who was having an earache and a cockroach jumped out at her.
I'm leaving.
Because bugs like to go in your ear. They think it's, and then they can't get out.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, stop saying that.
But she shined the light in the ear and the bug was like, oh, that's the exit. So it just like shot out.
Oh my God.
It's affected me.
What's funny is I scrolled past. I know exactly what video you're talking about. And I scrolled past it because I thought she got attacked by a person and I didn't want to hear about her getting hurt.
Because we love this TikToker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to follow. Is it
Beach Gem?
Beach Gem. There it is. She's a pediatric emergency room doctor on TikTok. Awesome. She's really great. But that's my daily TikToker plug. But yeah, so it goes into his ear. So they run away as he literally explodes into a pile of maggots.
Ugh.
And then he just kind of like swarms into the kitchen and like rematerializes into himself.
I feel like I have maggots all over me.
And they run down the basement and he turns back into maggots and goes under the door, and they're trying to keep the maggots out. So they use foul duct tape and like a broom, and they're, oh, it's so disgusting. Ugh. It's a really foul, foul and scene.
I bet this was a commercial break that you were thankful for.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to need an air break right now, but I'm going to need to like just scour my house and make sure there's nothing in here. But we see that Kendra and Buffy are bursting into the place where Angel was, because Kendra has led them to where she left him.
Thank goodness.
The cage is open. There's no ashes on the floor. And Willie stumbles in and he's like, wow, a lot of tension in this room, which he's right. There is a lot of tension in that room.
There is.
Because Kendra's like, see, I didn't kill him. Like, he didn't die. And she's like, well, you tried to. Like, they just are immediately bickering. And they chase him, and Kendra knocks him to the ground. And Buffy's like, does anyone from, like, just say hello from where you're from? Like, she just can't understand this.
They don't.
But Kendra's like, I don't know how I can know this, but this guy's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And Buffy picks Willie up and is like, where's Angel? And he's like, oh, yeah, like, I saved him, like, 5 minutes before he became what he said was a crispy critter. And then he says he went underground to recuperate.
Which is not the truth.
He's lying.
And I wish that Buffy and Kendra had bonded a little more before this.
So she could trust.
Exactly.
Kendra's like gut instinct.
Exactly. Because exactly. I had the same gut instinct.
And, you know, it would have been better if she did. But here we are. So she just kind of like drops him to the ground. And before they leave, he goes, I have to ask, have you either of you considered modeling? I have a friend with a camera.
Which, of course, you do. And then he goes,
strictly high class nude work. You know, art photographs. But naked. All I wanted was for them to turn. I wanted Buffy to turn to Kendra and go, you can hit him now. Like, yeah. That would have been great.
Yeah.
But they just leave. They don't say anything.
I thought she was going to say that.
It would have been so perfect because she was like, all right, you can beat the shit out of him now.
Yeah, like, go ahead.
Because let him. So after this, we see Drusilla. She's still resting. Spike wakes her up and she tells him in her, like, far away ghoul voice.
Oh, I love her so
much. That she was dreaming of Paris and there were worms in my baguette. And he just gives her this gift. And the gift is, Ash, what is it?
It's not a gift.
It's a gift to some.
I mean, yeah. It's Angel, you guys.
And he's tied up. He's gagged.
Yeah. He's still shirtless, though.
And he's shirtless. So that's a gift.
That's a gift.
To be honest. Angel, Spike's a real nice guy.
But he has to give himself as the gift for it to be gifty.
For it to be a gift. He's still got that open shirt.
I don't think he has a shirt on at this point.
Yeah, does he even have a shirt? I don't even know. Yeah. I think he had a shirt, but I think it's wide open.
Oh, okay. He does lose it at some
point. He does
look
great.
Yeah.
He does look great. And Spike presents him by saying,
Sire, sweet.
Your sire, my sweet.
He throws Angel on the floor and he's like, he's basically explaining to us how this is all going to work.
Yeah.
He calls Drusilla his black goddess, which I love.
That's gorgeous. Does John ever call you that?
No. I can confirm he has not. But they need the new moon, which is that night. We all need the new moon, you know?
Yeah, we do.
And they have like a Morticia and Gomez moment because he like kisses up her arm.
Yeah.
And he calls her his ripe, wicked plum.
I don't know about that.
And then she responds, like finishes his sentence and just says like forever. And then they just make out passionately.
Like while Angel is just right there.
I love it. I love them. I love everything about them. They don't give a fuck.
No.
They are Gomez and Morticia. I love it. I love it too, because she's like, can I have him? And she's like, just till the new moon. And he agrees. He's like, go right ahead.
I was surprised about that.
He's a great guy.
He is.
That's what he is. But he just says, don't kill him, because he's like, we need him. He can't die before the ritual.
Right.
So he lays out ground rules, you know? So Spike yanks Angel up and just holds him in front of Drew by the scruff of the neck. And she grabs his face and says this.
You've been a very bad daddy.
I don't like it.
And then she just reels back and slaps him across the face.
It's sexual tension, but it's not the kind we welcome.
I was like, it is getting so kinky in here.
Yeah, I know. Like, and holy this was shit. Like teenagers.
Yeah, I was sitting here watching this at like 13 being like, I love Drew.
Just, yeah, I don't know.
Like, damn.
I don't know.
I don't know. This all changed us all fundamentally as human beings.
Do you ever feel like you're settling? For your foundation, that is. Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation doesn't settle into fine lines and wrinkles. With SPF 20 and moisturizing Pro Vitamin B5, this foundation not only provides medium coverage and a natural finish, but also protects and nourishes your skin. And the best part? The blurring sponge tip applicator makes application a breeze. Say goodbye to cakey, uneven foundation, and hello to a flawless, radiant complexion. Try our new foundation today and see the difference for yourself at amazon.com/instant-eraser-foundation.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
The next scene we see is Giles and Kendra walking through the quad at school.
I felt so bad this for Buffy really during sad. This. Because we have all felt this way in some kind of capacity. Yep.
Just inadequate.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And like when you're like, it's like when you introduce like your two friends that don't know
and
each other.
And they start getting along too well.
And you're like, what the fuck have I done?
And you're like, I hate both of you.
Yep.
And it's literally Giles and Kendra. And then behind them is Buffy and Willow. And Giles is letting, you know, he's letting Kendra know that he was in contact with her watcher. And they kind of agree that, like, until the Spike and Drew thing is sorted out, really, that Kendra should stay in Sunnydale and help out. And Buffy's like, oh, good, that's going to be a treat. I'm so excited. I'm like,
yippee.
And Kendra's kind of ignoring Buffy and is just asking Giles, like, oh, what do you think Spike's motives are? And, you know, trying to get the whole thing. And he's saying, you know, he's trying to restore Drusilla's health. And Giles says that he thinks the ritual is the dark power her watcher sent her to contend with. And he says this about Drusilla.
Drusilla's not only evil, she's also quite mad. And if she's restored to her full health, then there's absolutely no telling what she might do.
Who doesn't love that? She's not only evil, she's also quite mad.
Yeah, mad in like both senses of the word,
she's mad
too.
Always.
Because she's mad at Angel, but she's also fucking crazy.
And she has a lot of right to be angry at Angel, as we will see. But Kendra's like, you know, they just go back and forth kind of like with Kendra being like, well, I think they're bonding.
Yeah.
Like talking about how they should fight him.
Jumping ideas off of each other.
Exactly. It's like they are really like on a peer level right now. And Buffy's just kind of like, good plan. Like,
she's got this face on that like, you know, you've had.
Yeah, it's
when this
true.
Is happening.
Like, and at one point she's like, it's a little more complicated than that, John Wayne.
That part was funny.
Which I love.
She's cute.
But Giles does explain that the Order of Taraka has been called by Spike to keep Buffy at bay. So this is like way bigger and more complex than they originally thought. Kendra knows who these people are because she's studied. She's read the books.
She knows.
So she's like a little shaken by this. And she starts asking Giles about the Order. And she's talking about the books and the research she's done. They're bonding more. Buffy is getting more and more hurt by this. Yeah. You can tell. I really felt for her. And she really tries to snark her way through this and says that Kendra sure has a lot of free time. And Kendra's like, I study because I have to.
It is required.
And then she says the Slayer handbook insists on it.
But Buffy doesn't even know what that is.
She's like, what is the Slayer handbook? I didn't even know that was a thing.
And then Giles really just throws down on her.
He says it wouldn't really be useful in Buffy's case.
That hurt me.
I was like, that was a rough. And I know he didn't mean it that way. Like, you can tell he didn't mean it that
way. No, of course not.
Because he was by no means trying to upset Buffy.
He just knows how she learns.
And I think in his mind, he's like, I've accepted you
for
like who you are. So that's fine. But to her, seeing this and seeing the way they're talking to each other, like, this is bringing in the inadequacy that she's feeling.
Totally.
And it's being like projected on her.
It's an insecurity.
I mean, Willow just wants t-shirts. About this whole thing.
She
I love
does.
That. But I love it because she's like, what do you mean? Like, it wouldn't be useful in my case. What's wrong with my case? And Giles really isn't even paying attention because he's like, you're whining again. Because yeah. It's true. She is whiny. Like, she's whiny a lot. So yeah. I think Giles is just like, you're whining about something again. I'm not going to listen.
Yeah.
But like, he should have listened at this point and like kind of comforted her about it.
We are Buffy and Giles.
We are.
Every time I watch, I'm just like, wow.
Because at this point, too, Kendra's like, oh, will you show me in that book that you're referencing? Like, they're a meet. Like, then now they're like touching a book together. Like, they're walking away. It's like, it's
getting official.
It's getting real official in here. And yeah, it's really sad. And as he's walking away, he just tells Buffy, he's like, you should make an appearance at the career fair and keep Snyder
from jumping up your ass. He's like, fuck off.
And this is when Kendra's like, oh, is she's a student here? Is she also a cheerleader? And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, she's being a bitch.
You don't need to be that mean.
No.
Like, you can see that she's feeling inadequate and upset.
Like, don't
You're taking over her watcher. You have your own watcher.
Get out of here.
Stay away from Giles. Like, I go back and forth with Kendra. I love her.
Me too.
But, like, there's times that I'm like, Kendra.
Simmer down now.
You're being mean. And so they just kind of leave together, and Buffy's very upset. And she's like, you know what? I bet he wishes I was more like Kendra. And Willow, again, the forever best friend.
Hype
she's like,
woman.
You will always be Giles's favorite.
Oh, like,
she's
and just it's
like,
true.
Don't even question that. But then Buffy brings up, like, I don't know, maybe I should just like be replaced. Maybe Kendra should be the Slayer and I should just give it up. But nobody wants that.
No,
Buffy
well,
doesn't
like,
want that.
What would you even do?
Yeah. And Buffy's like, I don't know, maybe I could just have a regular career in a normal life.
Nah.
But she doesn't really want that. She's been yelling that this whole time, but she's seeing now, and after this episode, she really sees it, that she doesn't want that. She thought she did, but
careful
she doesn't.
What you wish for.
Exactly. So remember, Xander and Cordelia are in Buffy's basement right now with Bug Guy at the top of the stairs in bug form. So Cordelia's just pacing around and Xander's like, will you just sit down or change your pattern because you're making me fucking queasy? And they're just immediately at each other. Cordy's like, what the fuck are we doing just sitting here? I'm not waiting for Buffy. I'm taking action. And she goes to leave, but Xander's like, there is a bug demon bounty hunter up there. What are you doing? She gets pissed and she just like roasts him and she says this.
Oh, right. You think we should just slack here and hope that somebody else decides to be a hero? Sorry. Forgot I was stranded with a loser.
I'm stranded with a loser. And then he responds with,
and yet I never forgot that I'm stuck with the numbrain to let Mr. Mutant in the house in the first place.
And immediately you're like, just kiss, just kiss.
This is when I knew, like, I was kind of thinking it was going to happen back in part one. This, I was like, it is about to happen.
It's about to go down.
I am making good on my wooden stake stab. And you know what? I think this is my first wooden stake stab that has actually happened.
It's come to fruition.
Yes,
finally.
I think it's the only one so far.
You got
far.
It. But you know what? One is good.
Yeah.
So she's like, I'm going. And when he doesn't go to stop her, he's letting her go. She walks past him and she's like, you know what? I'd rather be worm food than look at your pathetic face. And he's like, you can go. And he's not going to stop her. And she's like, yeah, I bet you wouldn't stop me. I bet you'd let a girl go off to her doom all by herself. And he's like, you're not any girl. You're special.
You're like, fucking awful.
It's getting more and more heated in there. She's pissed. And she's like, my final moments are going to be with you. I can't believe I'm going to die in this place with you. And she gets in his face. She's like, what are you going to do about it? They're like calling each other a coward. Like,
they're just screaming
you're a moron,
insults
you're
at each
a
other.
Coward, I hate you. No, I hate you. And they just stare at each other for a moment. And then all of a sudden,
Make out.
Finally, they furiously make out. Orchestra swells up.
It's wild.
They pull apart and Xander just goes, we so need to get out of this basement. I love it. And I love it because they don't leave it here. They just go right they run up the stairs together and they try to get out. You're like, we will deal with that later.
They're like, we don't have time for that right now.
They see that Norman is not still coming through the door.
Oh.
So he has collected himself into a writhing pile of maggots.
Oh my God.
And he is sitting on the ceiling above the hallway that they need to run through. As Cordelia runs through it,
rain
he just rains
on me. Oh, it was terrible. It
just rains maggots.
Rain on Cordy tsunami.
And Xander is spraying the bugs off of her with a hose, but she was wearing a cardigan.
Oh my God, this was driving me insane.
Ash and I were both like, take off the sweater, take off the sweater. Just and she wouldn't take it off. Take
your sweater off.
It made us both very angry, but they end up speeding away in her car.
There are definitely remnants. There are
definitely maggots. Blech. There's so many maggots. I hated it.
Maggots.
Maggots.
Cordy, you're driving with maggots.
You're driving with maggots. Oh, I love it. So back at school, Buffy and Willow are going to the career fair because Buffy's like, I was just told I had to do this. And Buffy's like, I got to go to the law enforcement table. But we do get a moment where Willow is distracted by Oz,
and
who is
Buffy
literally
catches on.
Like longingly staring at her.
Because he's like, who's
it's love.
That girl?
Who's that girl? And Buffy is finally, Buffy gets a chance to play wingman.
Because Willow's been playing it forever.
Yeah. She's like, he's checking you out. And Willow's like, no, that's Oz. Like, no. And she's like, absolutely not. Like, he's just expressing computer nerd solidarity.
Like, fellow nerd.
No way. And as she says it, Oz just pops up and is like, hey, like, just comes and Buffy's like, I'm gonna leave. They are so cute together. And they have this little banter where she's like, your hair is different. And he's like, yeah,
I do that.
I do that.
I love
like
them.
It's brown sometimes. They're just adorable. They talk about, you know, whether they're going to be computer suit people.
Because
remember,
they
were both.
Thing.
Yeah. They both got chosen. The only ones that were chosen for that computer software thing.
Which is sketchy.
Something's up there.
Yeah, that's not the last of that.
But he's like, no way. And when she's like, why were you chosen? He says this.
Well, I sort of test well, you know, which is cool. Except that it leads to jobs.
I love that. Except that it leads to jobs.
Yeah.
Then they flirt about guitar chords and it's love.
Love.
So Buffy has left. She's gone to the law enforcement career table. There is a female cop from the prior week's episode there. And she picks up a clipboard and she's like, everyone say here when I read your name. She says, Buffy Summers. And when Buffy raises her hand, the cop just calmly puts the clipboard down, unholsters her weapon, and goes to shoot Buffy.
It almost ended everything in that moment.
It is so intense.
And it's out of nowhere. I expect this. Because remember, there's that whole montage in the last episode where Buffy's walking through the hallway.
Yes.
And she makes eye contact with that woman mm-hmm. and thinks she's going to hurt her. And then you're like, oh, red herring.
Yeah.
Redhead, red herring.
Redhead, red herring.
But she wasn't.
It's a perfect little, like, callback.
Yeah.
Like you said, I love that in the last episode, they had you look at that cop.
Mm-hmm. They freeze
her,
on
yeah,
her.
Yeah, they give her a moment, and then she ends up being part of this, like, Order of Taraka.
Yeah, because you get this false sense of security.
Yeah, I like how they do that. And they do that in a lot of episodes where you're like, oh, I remember that person.
Like, they're fine.
Like, that works.
Right.
But chaos erupts because she is shooting now. She's
yeah.
shooting at Buffy. Buffy is dodging it. Students are fleeing everywhere. Buffy does manage to kick the cop's ass, but she pulls another gun and starts wildly shooting. Oz dives in front of a bullet to save Willow.
So they have to get married now.
They are in love.
He literally took a bullet for her.
He gets shot in the shoulder.
Yeah.
Like, that is Oz.
They haven't even gone on one official date yet, and he's taken a bullet for her.
He is the Wizard of Oz.
Where do you go from there?
I'm feeling this.
To the aisle.
Truly. Now, Buffy gets away from the cop, and she pulls another gun.
She's just got, like, guns on guns on guns on guns.
All, it's just, like, it's one of those, like, Mary Poppins bags where she just keeps
only
pulling
guns.
Shit out. But just guns. Like,
terrifying.
The scariest Mary Poppins bag ever.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So finally Kendra comes out of nowhere and kicks the gun out of her hand.
So she saves Buffy.
We love Kendra again. And then she kicks her in the fucking face, which is awesome. The cop flies backwards. She grabs Jonathan, who has been in a few of these, that random student that we keep seeing. He's been in a few of these, and we're like I said, we're going to see more Jonathan.
I know. I'm trying to figure out what his deal
is. They keep putting him in front of you.
They do.
But she pulls a knife. As she's, like, walking backwards, she just throws him on the ground and runs away.
Yeah.
Like, there was no reason. I guess it was just to keep everyone back. But I'm like, poor Jonathan. That was, like, very unnecessary.
Jonathan always finds himself in, like, detrimental situations.
So Buffy kind of checks on everyone. And Willow's like, Oz has been shot. And Willow's like, are you okay? And he's adorable and also in complete shock.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's odd and painful.
He's like, I think I was just shot at school.
Kendra had chased the cop, but she got away. And I love it because Jonathan is like, was that a demonstration? No.
Like, it was not. A man was actually shot.
Yeah, Jonathan. Like, no, this man is literally shot.
That's real blood.
Like, oh. So in the library, Buffy kind of runs in, tells Giles about the gun-happy cop and tells him that she's definitely part of the order. Giles, you know, is worried about Oz, and Willow says the paramedic said it's fine, like it was just a scratch, so Oz is going to be okay.
Yeah, kind of like, I guess he didn't really get shot, it kind of like grazed him.
Grazed him, yeah, because when you first see it, you're like, oh, are they going to kill Oz off before we even get... But you're like, okay, we're good. And I think they gave us that to be like, don't worry, he's fine.
That would have been awful of them to be like, this guy loves Willow.
We're going to kill him now.
Like, I'd be like, oh my God.
Right before they get to get together or anything gets to happen. So Cordelia comes in the library with Xander. She looks a mess, obviously.
I mean, a lot has happened.
Kendra almost brains them as well, like she did Willow.
She's got to calm down.
Yeah. But Giles kind of fills them in about the Order Taraka, and Xander is telling everyone about the king freak of the Order, which is the buggy man. But he kind of like notices Kendra, and Kendra's acting like a shrinking violet.
She thinks Xander is a hottie McHotterson.
And she just doesn't know how to act around like boys.
No.
Because as we find out, she is not allowed to date or be around them.
Which is sad.
So they kind of make the introductions, and Kendra's like very quiet. She won't even look at him. And Xander walks up to her and looks at Buffy and says,
a slayer, huh? I knew this. I'm the only one. I'm the only one thing was just an attention getter.
I love him.
He's like, I knew this. I'm the only one thing was an attention getter. But Giles asks Xander, you know, what kind of assassin they ran into. And Cordelia tells them by showing them a maggot.
Oh, I told you she didn't get them all off.
She runs away to shower. But Xander's like, yeah, he was maggots. And Buffy's like, what is with you and bugs? Which is a nice callback.
To Praying Mantis
to the teacher's pet episode. And he's like, no, he was made of bugs. He wasn't a bug. But I love that. In this moment, Buffy does show that she is thankful that Kendra saved her.
She would have died 100% again.
Yeah. And so Giles lets everyone know that he has researched this whole ritual that's going to happen on Drusilla. It needs to take place on the new moon at the church, and it also needs the presence of her sire.
And Kendra says,
it's the new moon tonight.
Tonight.
And Buffy's like, her sire is Angel. And everyone's like, oh, shit. Xander thinks that it's great because he says, man, that guy got major neck in his day.
That is my that slayed of
that
the week.
That is a great one. And Buffy is very quiet. And she asks, will this ritual kill Angel? And Giles is like, it will. Now, this lights a major fire under Buffy's ass. Willow,
she literally says, okay, ladies, now let's get information.
It literally does.
It happened.
And Willow is like, we're going to figure this out. Everyone's supporting her except Kendra, who's like, I'm sorry. Like, we need to just stop Drusilla. I don't give a shit about Angel.
And it's like, girl, catch up.
And I love it. Even Xander, because they're all supporting Buffy here. And they're even Xander is like, Angel's our friend, except that I don't like him.
And he doesn't even like break off and like laugh. He's glaring at her while
like,
he says that.
Angel's our friend,
except I don't like him.
But like, this is real. And Buffy walks up to Kendra, like very stoically.
Laying down the business.
And she says this.
Look, you've got your priorities and I've got mine. Right now, they mesh. So are you going to help me or are you going to get out of my way?
So she's like, sure, but she's rolling her eyes. She's like, I'm with you. And Buffy is pissed because she's like, you are not with me if you are not on board with Angel. And she says this.
Good, because I've had it. Spike is going down. You can attack me. You can send assassins after me. That's fine. But nobody messes with my boyfriend.
Which, hell yeah, nobody messes with my boyfriend.
I love it.
I love it. Now, back in Drusilla's bedroom, Drusilla grabs a glass of holy water. And Angel is now fully shirtless.
I knew it happened.
He is now bound.
Yeah.
Drusilla has definitely read 50 Shades of Grey.
Couple times.
Angel is not allowed to have a safe word in this situation. And if he was, she's ignoring it completely.
She's too busy making pretty colors.
Way too busy. And she starts talking about her mother's favorite food as she's pouring the holy water on him. And she talks about her mother's hands. And then she starts to apologize. Or excuse me, he starts to apologize and she tells him to bite his tongue. And then she tells him all the things that her parents used to eat. And then she says, until you came and ripped their throats out. And then she dumps the holy water on his chest and it just sizzles. Ugh. And he's screaming. And I'm with her in this moment.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm with her. And so we're getting this like back and forth. So we get that quick little scene of just like, holy shit. Back at the library, Willow is doing her web gal.
She is researching. On the net.
Yeah, and we find out that there are 43 churches in Sunnydale, which really shocks Giles. But Willow's like, I think it's the evil of the Hellmouth.
Makes like, people pray harder. Yeah.
And he's like, okay, just search for closed and abandoned ones, because those are the ones they're probably going to go to. And then Xander and Cordy are now going to find out who the fuck Norman was. Mm-hmm. In the office off of the library, Buffy and Kendra are kind of roasting each other, just back and forth and back and forth. They are daggers flying at each other. Not literal ones, but like word daggers.
It's like a tennis match of daggers.
It is. And at one point, Kendra asks if Buffy knows what a secret identity is. And she says it very condescendingly, like, do you even know? And Buffy's like, nope, must be in the handbook right after the chapter on personality removal. And she says that Kendra needs to be careful with the crossbow that she's holding. And Kendra's like, yeah, I'm an expert in all weapons. But then she accidentally shoots a bolt at a lamp and just busts the lamp.
So she's clearly not an expert.
And everyone's like, what the hell was that? And she's like, it's fine. I'm sorry. But Kendra's like, okay, maybe after this fight with Spike and Drew are over, you can teach me how to use it.
And that's kind of like
that's her great, olive her little olive branch. But yeah, so Buffy's like, sure. And she's like, you know what? I'd actually rather just eat some pineapple pizza and have a teen movie fest once this is over, which I am for.
That's exactly what I want to do. That sounds great. Are you a pineapple pizza girly?
I have tried it once.
Don't like it.
And I don't think I had a strong opinion about it, so I think I need to try it again.
Oh, we'll get it. Yeah. Oh, maybe we can do that this weekend.
There you go.
I don't know why I'm making weekend plans while we're talking about this.
You guys want to come?
Hey, see you there.
Yeah, we'll see you there.
Pineapple pizza.
Pineapple pizza.
No ham.
Teen movie marathon.
Yes.
Oh, no ham.
No ham.
Absolutely no. I feel very strongly about that.
You and I both.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
In the library proper, I almost said the library.
The library.
In the library proper, Xander opens a page and says, oh, here we go. I am the bug man. Cuckoo-ca-choo.
It was funny.
And they find out that he can only be killed, Norman, in his disassembled state.
Oh, which means he's got to be maggots.
He's got to be buggies. And I love it because he condescendingly looks at Cordelia and goes, disassembled. That means he's broken down into his little buggy parts. And Cordelia calls him a dorkhead, which I was like, whoa, you've done better.
She definitely has. But I mean, she's a little
disheveled. She's been through
frazzled.
It.
She's a little frazzled.
You know what, guys? Just make out again.
She kissed a dork.
She did, a dorkhead.
Ah.
Now, in the office, again, Kendra says that Buffy's life is very different from hers, which, like, that is
an understatement.
Yeah, a very understatement. And she's like, yeah, you know, everything that you have been taught, I've been taught the opposite. Like, friends, school, even family, I don't have that.
It's really sad.
And Buffy is, like, genuinely, like, sad for her.
Yeah.
And is like, even family?
Like, you don't have family?
Yeah. And this is when Kendra says her parents sent her to live with her watcher when she was very young. She doesn't even remember them.
That's awful.
Like, real. And she's like, she says they thought that's what was doing what was right by me.
And I guess, in a way, yeah. I mean, she's going to be a bomb-ass slayer. But it's sad.
But it's really sad. And she's like, Buffy's like, that sounds really lonely. And Kendra says emotions are a weakness.
Which I've heard Elena say.
Which I was like, oof. And Buffy's like, no, I actually think they give me my power. Which is like very deep.
Profound.
And Kendra's like, yeah, I like to have an even mind. And Buffy's like, all right, that explains it. Mm-hmm. And Kendra's like, what do you mean? And she tells her, you know what? When we were fighting, your technique was like on point, perfection. But she said, you would have lost if we didn't call a truce. And she's like, what? And she's like, because you don't have imagination. You have everything down to a T, but you lack the imagination.
Yep.
And she says this.
Oh, I know so. You're good, but power alone isn't enough. A good fighter needs to know how to improvise, to go with the flow. Seriously, don't get me wrong. You really do have potential.
Which is, like, really astute.
It is, but Kendra is offended with a capital O.
Oh, yeah. She grabs a knife and, like, threatens Buffy. She threatens to, like, wipe the floor with Buffy. But Buffy just steps up to her and stares at her. And she goes, that would be anger you're feeling. You feel it, right? How the anger gives you fire? A Slayer needs that.
She proves her point.
That, to me, like, that is, I think that might be my quote of the week. Just because it's so
astute.
That is it.
Yeah.
And the fact that she was able to prove that point that way, just be like, you feel that? That's what you need.
That is a good quote.
I loved it. Xander comes in and immediately Kendra goes back to like the eyes to the floor. It's so crazy. And Xander like compliments her knife and leaves.
Xander is Xander.
When she finds out, Buffy finds out that Kendra can't date either. And she's not really even allowed to speak to boys. And Buffy is like, and she's like, yeah, I can't even speak to them. And Buffy's like, unless you're pummeling them.
I love the word pummel.
I do too. And that is when Buffy thinks of something.
Willie.
She thinks back to Willie, the sleazy bar guy. And they're like, let's go pay him a visit.
Mm-hmm.
We're back at Drew's lair. Drew's, you know, kinky den of secrets over here.
Yeah, that's one way to put it.
Drew's kinky den of revenge.
I think it is. There you go.
It's a new hip club.
This part is hilarious, but also fucked.
She tells Angel to say uncle. And then reminds him that he killed her uncle.
Oh, right.
You killed my uncle. Spike comes in, and right before she can pour more holy water on his chest, and Spike's like, we need to go to the church, like, no more playing around. And Drew just whines and is like, oh, like,
but
this makes his skin turn pretty colors. And she's pouring it on. And Spike's like, you'll be able to watch him die soon. Don't worry. And then he says that he's never been into the pre-show. And this is Angel's, like, time to shine.
Yeah.
Because Angel just goes, basically insinuates that Drusilla loves the pre-show.
Yeah.
And this enrages Spike.
Because he's like, you're talking about what my girl likes and dislikes.
And as Angel says this, and Drew's just going, shh. Which I was like, what the fuck?
Because she's like, uh-oh.
And she's growling and barking at him.
She's fucking wilded.
And Angel says this.
You should let me talk to him, Drew. Sounds like your boy could use some pointers. She likes to be teased.
Oh! Spike is not pleased.
It's like an episode of Wild and Out.
Oh, it was like... Oh, he's not pleased.
Shot for shot.
And Spike is like, you shut the fuck up. He's like getting in his face. And Angel goes, take care of her, Spike. The way she touched me just now, I can tell she's not satisfied.
Oh my damn.
Like, he's coming into their house. He is on their bed. He has no respect. He is coming at them sideways.
No respect.
Whew, them's this fighting words.
It was like
shots fired has never been more relevant.
Yeah, yeah.
Shots, like shots launched out of a rocket launcher.
Yeah.
And Spike grabs him by the throat and tells him to shut up, but Angel doesn't have his listening ears on today.
He doubles down.
And he goes, oh, or maybe you two just don't have the fire we had. Spike breaks off a piece of the fucking bed.
He's done.
And is about to stake Angel, but Drew stops him because they need him, unfortunately.
Spike has had it up to here.
And unfortunately, he has to stop. And he goes from, like, bloodthirsty rage to, like, because he knows. He's like, you know what? Like,
you're going to get me,
but I got the upper hand here. I got Drew, and you're going to die at the end of this. So he says this.
Go. Right. Right. You almost got me. Aren't you a throw himself to the lion sort of sap these days? Well, the lions are on to you, baby. See, if I kill you now, you go quick, and Drew hasn't got a chance. And if Drew dies, Your little Rebecca of Sunny Hell Farm and all her mates are spared her coming out party.
Rebecca of Sunny Hell Farm.
I was crying.
And I love, because he just turns it right back around. He's like, oh, I'm going to kill your girlfriend. So
doesn't
like,
matter.
Fuck off. I'm going to kill your girlfriend and I'm going to keep fucking your ex-girlfriend.
I'm going to kill your girlfriend and fuck your ex-girlfriend. Yeah, so he's like,
in the end, I really win out here. And I'm also way hotter than you when I'm vamped out. So like winner, chicken he dinner did not over here.
Leave.
He was thinking it. Don't we all
at,
were.
Don't come at me sideways.
We were all thinking it.
We were.
I was thinking it.
You were.
But not now, me. Drusilla can, as one does, she can feel the moon rising.
Relatable.
Ash also can feel the moon rise.
I can. Oh, there it is.
And she's like, Spike, it's time. And that's what happens whenever the moon rises here. Ash goes, Elena,
it's time.
It's true. It happens. Well,
sorry about it.
You know, you can't tell me it doesn't. Spike chokes Angel again and says, too bad and jealous. Looks like you go the hard way along with the rest of this miserable town. And then Drew and him get very spicy over that. And they just start sure making do. Out as Angel tries to look away, but he can't because, one, it's hot. And two, he's bound to a chair. So
I like, think it's more the latter.
Now, at the bar, Buffy and Kendra have found Willie. And they're threatening to beat the information about Angel's whereabouts out of him. He's, of course, claiming he doesn't know anything. And Kendra tells Buffy to just hit him because Kendra is who we all are. So she's like, just fucking hit him.
Just do it.
And I love it because Buffy's like, I'm sorry, Willie. Like, she just likes to hit. And this kind of gets him to fess up a little. And he's like, you know what? I think I did hear something about a ritual. You know what? It is coming back to me. I'll take you there. To me, this came too quick.
Yeah. And Kendra knows it, too.
Yeah. Kendra's like, I think we should go get Giles. We should follow procedure here. Like, I don't know if I trust this shit. And Buffy is like, she's letting Angel cloud her judgment. And Kendra calls her out on this. Because Buffy's like, I'm so sick of this protocol. We don't need to go to the Watcher. I don't need to ask for permission. And she's like, Angel could die. And Kendra tells her, he's a vampire.
He should die.
Why am I the only person who sees this?
And that's when I would hit her.
I was like, oh, shit.
Violence is never the answer. And I know that. But...
You go back and forth in this episode. Like, you're like, ooh. I get it. I don't get it. I get it. I don't get
it. In this part, I was like, Kendra, bite your mother bleeping tongue.
But Angel is clouding her judgment.
I don't care.
Because this could have been really bad.
I said I didn't care.
I said I didn't care. Don't come at me sideways.
Don't do it.
Now, Willie leads Buffy down a hallway, you know, towards the abandoned church. And you hear him say, here you go. Don't ever say your friend Willie doesn't come in a pinch. And as he goes around the corner, it was clear he was not talking to Buffy when he said that, but to the assassins of the Order of Taraka, because they stop short and they are just standing there.
Yeah.
So he was just leading her into a trap. And he repeats it. And two more assassins come out. They grab him. Norman's there. A vampire is behind. Like, they're all there.
It's
and
awful.
Buffy's pissed. She got caught. She got got.
She is constantly
walking
into trap after trap after trap.
And not listening to people. That's the thing, which it's like, I understand, like, I always, like, don't listen to my own gut.
Yeah.
And I definitely don't listen to other people's things either. So I get that. Like, you're like, I'm going to prove that I'm right.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, but these, you've been through enough situations now where it's time to start being like,
you've walked into like three traps in a row this past couple weeks.
Yeah. Like, that's what's going to happen is people are like, if you are the slayer, people are going to try to trap you. That's kind of like the whole part of the job. Mm. So like, you should always be looking at every situation, always be closing, always be looking for a trap.
And always be escaping.
Always be escaping.
Call back. Full circle.
Now, in the church, like in the main part of the church, Spike has like one of those incensers that Tobias Forge uses on stage.
Does he?
Yeah, he does.
Oh.
When I think it's when he sings Call Me Little Sunshine.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's fun. I can always connect it back to Ghost. But yeah, he's using the incensor and he's doing an incantation. It says like Elagor, I name thee, bringer of war, poisoners,
don't
pariahs.
Say all of it.
Grand obscenity, Elagor, wretched master of decay, bring your black medicine, come.
Whoa.
And then he sets it on the little incensor down on the altar next to Drusilla.
Who looks beautiful.
She is a vision.
Whoa.
A vision.
her black dress, her hair is all done.
She's got a sparkly barrette in her back of her hair. Like, she is done.
She looks awesome.
This is her moment.
I love her black dress.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it. Yep. Could not get enough of it. She's, like, bound to Angel, and Angel's, like, restrained, standing up, like, against a pole that he's tied to. It's very strange. It's, like, hard to understand what's going on.
Yeah.
They're attached to each other, and he's attached to a pole. And she's just kind of, like, waving around there, like, just, like, doing interpretive dance.
She's living.
Looking fucking stunning. And Spike keeps going. He says, bring your black medicine. Come restore your most impious, murderous child. Which I love that. I'm like, what? Wow. Your most impious, murderous child is Drusilla? Damn.
I believe it.
I do too. But I'm like, what? That's like, he loves you, girl.
He does.
He loves you. And he holds that cross that he got out of the Duloc tomb.
Yep.
He holds it upside down.
Uh-oh.
Because we're doing some black magic shit.
Oh, yeah.
And then he pulls it apart, revealing that it was a blade in a sheath.
And this part hurts.
And then he says, from the blood of the sire, she is risen. From the blood of the sire, she shall rise again. And then he stabs Duloc's cross, like the knife, into Drew and Angel's hands, which are clasped together.
Oh.
Angel is screaming in pain. A light, like, bursts out into the room. Drusilla just, like, leans backward, and clearly she's, like, just taking in this power.
Yep.
It's very intense. Spike is very happy. He has done a great job. And he tells this empty room this.
Right. We'll just let them come to a simmering boil and remove to a low flame.
Come to a simmering boil.
And remove to a low flame.
I love him so much.
I love him a lot.
As this is happening, Willie kind of bursts into the church with Buffy and all of the order. And he tells Spike that it's payday because he's like, I brought her. And Spike's like, are you kidding me? Did you really bring her to the fucking ritual, you idiot?
Like, while it's happening.
And Buffy's just staring in horror at Angel.
Because he's, like, melting, kind
of. His life force is just being sucked out of him. It's, yeah, like, it's literally hocus pocus.
And she whispers his name.
She does. She whispers it. And Spike, Angel, mocks her and says this.
Yeah. It bugs me, too, seeing him like that. Another 5 minutes, though, and Angel will be dead, so I forbear. Don't feel too bad for Angel, though. He's got something you don't have.
What's that?
5 minutes.
He's so funny. He's so funny.
That stressed me out.
He's comedy.
He is.
But then he just looks at the cop and he's like, kill Buffy. The cop pulls out her gun again because there she is.
She's such a boring assassin.
I was going to say, I'm like, do you have anything else?
Yeah.
You're dressed as a cop and you have a handgun.
Like, what else?
La-di-da-da. Like, ugh. No, go away, girl.
Get out of here.
At least Norman bursts into bugs, okay?
Right.
But as she pulls out the gun, Kendra bursts through the doors with a literal war cry.
She, like, backflips into the doors, too.
She does a full floor routine a la Simone Biles.
Yeah, just a quick tumbling
into
pass.
Into this fucking church. And then she just, like, drop kicks the bounty hunters as she does. Buffy and Kendra square off in front of Spike, and he's like, what? Like, what is going on? And she's like, oh, it's your lucky day. And then Kendra goes, two slayers, and punches him in the face.
It's awesome.
It is pretty great. So this all goes to chaos. Buffy, like, yeets herself at the cop. The cop has retractable knives. I know I was just saying she was boring, but this was pretty crazy.
This was.
She has retractable knives in each sleeve and, like, almost does, like, the double gun stance, like, that
she does
kind of,
yeah,
thing, like, hey. A vampire makes his way towards Buffy, but dusted by a crossbow wielding Giles. Hot.
I had to leave the room. Elena needed, yeah, alone time.
Because then another vampire makes his way to attack Giles, and Giles beats him with the crossbow.
And Willow is helping out too.
Willow jumps on the vampire's back, which I love all of this. Xander calls out to Norman and says, hey, larva boy. And when he looks over at him, he says this.
Yeah, that's right. I'm talking to you, you big cootie.
Big cootie.
Dead.
Norman just smiles, and Xander, like, runs through the double doors, closing them behind him. He hops over a pool of liquid adhesive that Cordy has laid out on the threshold during all of this chaos, and they wait as the maggots that are Norman spill out from under the door.
No.
And they stomp on them as they are get stuck in the adhesive.
And we can move past that as quickly as we came to it.
It was brilliant. Disgusting, though.
Yep.
Spike is starting to get the upper hand with Kendra, so they switch out. And Kendra flips over Buffy's back and just launches herself at the cop. It's a really cool fight scene. And in the hallway, Cordy is like going insane, jumping on these maggots. And she's screaming, die!
at one point, I think Xander's like, okay, like we're done.
Like they're dead. Yeah. It's good. But she's very angry.
Yeah. They fucked with her. I don't either.
Yeah. Like they were on her.
Yeah.
That's not okay. They rained on her. And that's not all right. Now, Buffy throws Spike against a wall and he's distracted by Willie, who is attempting to leave. And he grabs Willie, asking where he's going. And Willie's trying to get out of this. And he's like, it was Buffy and Kendra. Like, it's their fault, blah, blah, blah. And Spike isn't hearing any of this bullshit.
He's like, I'm going to murder you.
Yeah. So as this is going off, Buffy does get a chance to remove Duloc's knife from the hands. And she's trying to get Angel to safety. That's her main priority here. Spike sees this and immediately attacks Buffy, throws her to the ground. Kendra is evading the cop, luckily, and like keeping her distracted. But at one point, she rips the sleeve of Kendra's shirt. And Kendra looks down and she goes, that's my favorite shirt. That's my only shirt. She's so mad. And so she just like beats the shit out of the cop. And she throws her in a confessional booth, which is hilarious.
Lots of cages in Sunnydale.
Yeah, a lot of them, of all different sorts. This is like non-secular cages and secular cages.
Right.
But Spike throws a lit torch at the canvas that's draped over the pews. This is to make them so they can't thwart his escape, basically. Yep. He makes like a wall of fire. And he unhitches Drew. And then he's like, I hope you got enough of the life force, like, which she did, spoiler alert.
Oh, and she did.
Oh, yeah. We'll see it at the end.
Yep, you're right.
Buffy grabs the incensor, uses it like a lasso, spins it around her head, and throws it at Spike. It hits him, and he falls into the pipe organ, and the entire thing crashes down on him.
I thought he had died.
Yeah, it was bad. And I think this was the point where they might have been planning to kill him off.
Oh, okay.
I think. I don't know. This just makes sense to me. But she kind of falls to Angel's side. She's like cradling him in her lap and she like pets his face tenderly. Kendra moves in to kind of help him out of the church with her, which is nice. Like she helps.
She gets it finally.
And we see the camera kind of focus on the burning wreckage of the pipe organ. And that's why I think this was supposed to be like, this is the end. Because we think that's the end.
Right.
And now it's the next day at school. Oz is offering Willow an animal cracker. And she's just like, how's your arm? And he's like, it's suddenly painless.
Because they're in love, guys.
I can't get enough of them.
It's beautiful and pure.
And she's asking, like, can you play your guitar okay? And, like, he's doing this little flirty thing back. And then she's like, I never thanked you. You know, like, and she's like, I didn't ever get to thank you. And she's opening the box of animal crackers for him. And he's like, oh, yeah, don't. Like, I get all red with thanks. Please don't.
Aww.
And Willow's like, okay, forget, like, the part that, you know, I owe you my life here. And he's very uncomfortable. And he's just like, oh, look, a monkey. And he has a little hat and little pants. Like, he's just like, I can't talk about this.
Right.
And then he says, the monkey's the only cookie that gets to wear clothes, which is true.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of weird. And she smiles and he says, you have the sweetest smile I've ever seen.
And we all collectively scream.
Oh, and she's just like shocked by this because which like breaks my heart because like she doesn't hear this enough.
No.
But he doesn't let anything get weird because he just starts talking about the animal cookies. He says this.
So I'm wondering, do the other cookie animals feel sort of ripped? Like is the hippo going, hey, man, where are my pants? I have my hippo dignity. And you know, the monkey's just, I mock you with my monkey pants. And then there's a big coo in the zoo.
That used to be one of my favorite quotes.
Really?
Like that whole quote. And I remember my friend Jenna was obsessed with Oz. That was her guy. We all had our guys. My friend Christy loved Xander. My friend Jenna loved Oz.
Linz was Angel.
And I was Spike.
Linz still does love Angel.
Linz does still love
Angel.
We've
exchanged words.
It's true. There's been a fight. But yeah, this I remember Jenna being very into this one big long quote of his.
Aww.
I mock you with my monkey pants.
It's cute.
And they just kind of walk off together. And like, she's like, is the monkey French? And it's just, it's adorable. I love it. We do get another Cordelia and Xander meetup.
Yeah, we do.
And they kind of like go into a classroom together And he's like, we don't need to like run away from each other every time we see each other. And they get into this back and forth of like, you initiated it. No, you did. You it know wasn't
it's
me.
Coming again.
I'm forgetting it ever happened. And they're like, good, good.
Boom.
They kiss again.
Oh.
And it happens. And you're like, I love this.
I love it so
much. I love this. I'm ready for this.
I am obsessed with it.
I'm ready for it. It feels right. We also see Buffy and Kendra walking out of school, and Kendra has a new shirt from Buffy.
Yeah, because she only had that one. Shirt.
And they kind of have a bonding moment. They're talking about like she's flying home and she's like, you have to fly in a seat with a ticket, not in the cargo hold. And it's cute. It's like a little back and forth thing. And as she's getting into the taxi, Buffy stops her and she's like, I just need to thank you for helping me save Angel. And Kendra's like, I'm not going to tell my watcher about it.
Yeah, definitely.
And then she's like,
don't.
I still think it's weird that a slayer is in love with a vampire, even though he is cute.
She gives in.
They have like a really cute bonding moment.
They have like a sisterhood now.
Yeah. And Buffy's like, you know what? Maybe I won't get fired for dating him. And Kendra's like, why do you always do that?
And Buffy's like, what?
And what? And she says, you talk about slaying like it's a job. It's not. It's who you are. And she's like, did you learn that from the handbook? And Kendra says, no, I learned it from you. And it's like, oh, I love you guys. Like, yeah. You guys are friends. And she's like, you know what? You're right. It's not something that I can fight. But she calls herself a freak. And Kendra says, you're not the only one.
They're both freaks.
I love that. And Buffy goes, not anymore. And then she goes to hug Kendra. And Kendra goes,
nope.
I don't hug. And then she gets in the taxi and just leaves.
She's like, bye, girl.
She's like, no. If this wasn't a great enough ending... We then zoom into the church.
This ending is really good.
We see Spike is like covered in soot. He's unconscious. We don't know if he's dead. And then we see fucking Drew.
Vamped. And she's vamped out. And she looks awesome.
And she is healed.
Oh.
She has been healed.
She has been revived.
And she says, don't worry, dear heart. And then she lifts him out of the wreckage like a rag doll. And she says, I'll see that you get strong again. And then she scoops him up into her arms like a baby.
And she says,
and literally carries him out of the church saying, like me.
Like, what is going
she's back.
To happen?
The bitch is back. What? And she's mad.
Oh my God. Okay, so. My wooden stake stab is actually from, like, the beginning. My wooden stake stab is that maybe in, like, a couple episodes, those weird computer guys in the suits are going to come back. I think it's bad. I think the fact that Willow and Oz got selected for that is bad and it's not good.
I think that's a good stab.
Because that's what bad means.
Because that's it's bad.
And it's not good. Like, it's a lie.
I think that's a pretty good stab, I would say.
My ask the watcher would have to be... Is Drusilla, like, she's fully restored.
She's so back.
Is she still crazy, though?
Yeah.
Okay, like, she's we're not going to lose that?
Oh, no.
Okay, all right.
Now we're just going to get strong, scary, crazy Drew.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. I'm into that so much.
And now she's, like, fully in that, like how she was with Angel, playing with him and, like, toying with him. Mm-hmm. We're going to get that Drew.
Tenfold.
But, like, strong. And, like, I'm going to kill you.
Oh, I'm a little scared.
It's great.
I'm excited, though.
It's the beginning of a really great.
It's the start of something Drew. New. It feels so it's, right to be here with Drew.
Exactly.
Yeah, I brought High Precisely. School Musical into this.
I like it. I like it. It fit here. I would say, you know, my MVP of the week.
MVS.
My MVS of the week.
Most Valuable Slayer.
Has to be. I mean, this is a tough one.
I think it's got to be Kendra.
I would say so, too.
But Buffy couldn't have done this one alone.
Yeah, I'd say. And you know what?
And Scooby Gang couldn't
I'm going to give it to both of them.
Okay.
Because for both of them, being able to put aside their own predilections about the whole thing, their own, like, how they do things.
Yeah.
What they thought of each other in the beginning and work together to be badasses. And then in the end, come to a realization that they are both freaks together.
I like it. I think you're right.
I feel like they couldn't have done it without the other one.
I agree with
you. They needed the other one. It was like it was a nice little pair.
A little sisterhood.
Fucking love Kendra.
I do too. I ended up liking
her. She was mean,
her.
But like, I like her.
Checks. My most fashioned moment, I'm going to have to say, is Drew when she's in her black dress.
Oh yeah, that was.
That's a fucking Luke
beyond. And it was kind of fun to see Cordelia, because after she has to take a shower after the maggots, she's just in like a Sunnydale High t-shirt.
It's like gym
to
clothes.
To see her very dressed down, she's was kind of fun.
She's even wearing sweatpants, yeah, she's and very like trainers. Comfy. Yeah.
And I'm like, you still look great.
Yeah, she looks awesome.
Yeah, she does.
It, that's what sweatpants, hair tied, chilling with no makeup on.
That's
where that was rooted.
Cordelia. Yeah. Right there.
Drake, I know you saw that episode.
And you know what? The sexual tension between the two of them is real. It's not forced.
Oh.
Like, it doesn't feel like they're shoehorning this in.
No.
Because a lot of times when they'll do this kind of thing, like, I'm sure, I know a lot of people love Friends, but like, there's a lot of times in Friends where you're like, oh, yeah, you're just going to shoehorn those two people together.
Because, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You can't
and it,
be
like,
friends
doesn't make
when,
sense.
Yeah. And it's like, and it's annoying and like, I mean, come on.
It's too like on
Rachel
the nose.
And Joey, get out of here. Like, that's a shoehorned.
Does that
and
happen?
So, yeah.
Oh,
and
dumb.
So, yeah, exactly. And so this, though, feels organic. It feels like from the beginning, even though they were so mean to each other, you underneath it all, you were like, I kind of want you guys to make out.
Yeah. And it's high school. So it makes sense.
Exactly. Because it's like one of those things where it's like you make fun of the person you like, which is not healthy. But like, it's the way
high
it
school.
Is. So,
yeah,
it just made sense here. I love it. I think they did it in a great way.
We're not done with that, are we? That's not just going to like go away.
No, we're not done with it.
I ship them.
And Willow and Oz. We're going to get Willow and Oz finally. It's coming.
I'm loving everything.
They are just precious. Like,
they're a pure, pure love.
Oh my God, they are so precious.
They really are.
So, yeah, I thought it was a great episode.
I loved it. And with all that being said, if the apocalypse comes,
beat me.
The Rewatcher, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, is hosted and executive produced by us, Ash Kelly and Elena Urquhart. Our associate producer is Avery Siegel. Chris Kirk is our post-producer. Music supervisor is Scott Velasquez. And our original theme song was written and performed by Nerf Herder. For Wondery, Emily Feld is our senior producer. Executive producers are Dave Easton, Stephanie Jens, and Marsha Louie.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loreau, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.